This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. And today we continue our conversations on research initiatives led by MUT Academics. I am joined by Professor Mkhize, a leading food and nutrition security researcher. Her work transcends indigenous food systems, food systems transformation, and climate resilience. Prof, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? And how long have you been working here at MUT?
Thank you, Prof. Well, I'm Xolile Mkhize, and I am a researcher at MUT. I started it's been almost 10 years being in the institution. And I studied food and nutrition. My PhD is in food and nutrition. And also I have a postgraduate diploma in marketing management, which I did when I was in industry. But I basically am a woman who grew up from the township, who was inspired to look at food in a very particular way because of where I come from. So I was very much interested as a young woman to pursue food and nutrition because of challenges around weight. And so that gave me the platform to also work in industry as a food consultant. And from there, I worked to focus on looking at things from an industry perspective. But then I realized, no, there's a gap. I cannot just be passionate about food from an industry perspective. There is a whole lot of more that we as people in society need to explore and understand the food politics, food economy. And so my research actually stemmed from there, also being raised by grandparents who were farmers. And so then I connected the dots and started to pursue research from a very broad systems approach. And I started with my master's. And then I'm also a fellow for the Wageningen University research, where I was exposed to a lot of global understanding on food systems, climate impact. And so that was through the Netherlands, the NAFIC program, the Orange Knowledge Exchange program, which was a very interesting series that we did. And also I am currently part of the committee for the drafting committee for the ultra processed foods under the FAO Indigenous Knowledge People's Group, where we work on policy reform at a global level and make recommendations around that. Also, I am
just hang on. I want us also to kind of walk us through this in piecemeal, so that whoever is watching can begin to appreciate the journey that you have traveled and where you are currently. And I want you to just tell us about your contribution at global level, and how through that contribution you have positioned South Africa in ways that we not only make contributions, but we also learn from other global researchers who are also part of your research area. Just tell us about that.
Well, thank you, Prof. I think I must say it started with the NAFIC Knowledge Exchange Program, which I did under Wageningen, which really exposed me to agri-value chains and what is happening globally in terms of food systems. And that has been an amazing platform because you get to work with other researchers. You also get to be invited by the FAO to contribute in workshops that are zooming into regional work, where I present some of the case studies that are taking place in South Africa. So from a policy perspective, this allows other nations to zoom into South Africa and understand the context of our research, the context of the South African story around food security, food systems, issues around nutrition, issues around smallholder farmers. And so it's really eye-opening for me as a researcher, but most importantly, I go there representing my country, representing all the researchers that are in the field, and basically having a global plate, having a global table conversation on what is really happening, because we are all understanding that we are in a process of massive globalization. And so it gives ourselves context to have voices South Africa, to have voices researchers. And there's still a lot more that needs to be done.
Now, taking that collaboration back home, you are part of the Food Click project, and you work very closely also with eThekwini, I assume municipality, or eThekwini food system. You are part of the eThekwini food system strategy. Tell us a little bit about that project and the perspectives that you bring to that particular table.
Yes. Well, if I can just step a little bit back, I am part of the local food system. So eThekwini is looking at addressing the issues around the local food system, improving it. That's also because eThekwini is part of the Milan Pact, which is system part of the cities that signed that pact to improve on delivery around food systems transformation. So I come there as a person who grew up from MLAS. I grew up from the township. I'm MUT, which is township. I understand the environment. I know what local food system is about. But most importantly, I started there when I was, I've worked with eThekwini as a food editor. Mm-hmm. Through their publications, and I had a voice there to talk about food and how to impact the city around that. So this project for me is home. It's me having a voice in terms of my research that I do. My PhD was on urban food agriculture, which is part of the eThekwini AgriHub. So I come there with bringing the perspective of a consumer, bringing a perspective of a household, bringing a perspective of a researcher, bringing a perspective of what institutions can do in that role. And so the project is looking at how do we, as stakeholders, put systems in place and recommend transformation for the ECLEAR project conversations, so that those recommendations can be effected in the city. So it's basically a platform where the city is now tackling and breaking down what government aims to do, but in a very localized context. And so it's quite inspiring to see, because we've been missing to have a food council in eThekwini for some time. So this project is trying to initiate that, and eThekwini has been selected to take part in a few cities in Africa.
So what does the consumption thematic track for South Africa food systems pathway aim to change about how South Africans eat?
Well, that is an initiative under the FAO, the UN, United Nations Food Systems Transformation Plan. So we have member states that are looking into how to improve that. And so South Africa is one of the also the countries that are taking part in that transformation. And so there are four thematic tracks. That one is the first one, which I am part of. Mm-hmm. And we've got researchers, civil society, and various groups working on recommending pathways for South Africa. So that particular one is looking at enhancing local production, which is a big thing, because we want our food to be locally sourced. Mm-hmm. It has a major impact on the economy. So we want to upscale our farmers. And so it's local production, safe. We know all about safe foods in South Africa. It's a big thing, mm-hmm. nutritious and indigenous. So that thematic track is looking at bringing synergies together in the country to fast track that pathway, to ensure that there are interventions that actually address issues around moving South Africa to look into delivering within that mandate.
Right. You were recently named the best mentor by the Department of Science and Innovation by the HSRC. What does mentorship mean to you in practice?
Well, I think one of our values as MUT is Ubuntu. So we don't exist in a vacuum. We exist within society. We exist within people that have shaped us. We also get shaped by them, and we also shape them. And so that award, I was actually nominated by my intern, which I had mentored, was also a former student of mine for way back. And so it meant to me that there is impact, there's mentorship that is tangible, that I've contributed to young people's lives, young women's lives. I have been inspirational in terms of not just delivering, being a supervisor or being a lecturer, but also zooming into uplifting our young people. And so I work very well with my interns and young and the youth. That's my passion because, this is who we are. We know we need to give back. And that's why being at MUT is very much key to me because it's part of my, it's my roots. I am from Africa. I am from South Africa. It's context for me. So that is part of the inspiration. So it inspires me. It allows me to give them platforms as well, where they can be inspired to do research, give them projects that are outside of, just also expose them to international projects and also national projects. So that award is about being a person who is with her people.
I understand. And this one for me also, I think, is quite important. Your contribution as someone who sits on the Council of Higher Education's working group, setting standards for national qualification standards for agriculture extension. That's the one part. And the second part, also being a DAU fellow through DHET. Please share with us your insights and your contributions as part of the National Standards Working Group and also your experiences as a DAU fellow.
Okay. Thank you, Prof. I think the CHE Standards Working Group is a very exciting project because we've just did our curriculum review. And so curriculum review is essential for advancement of research, advancement of teaching and learning. And so being there, it allows me to have a broader picture as to what the standards are like. And we're actually drafting them so that allows me to take that and bring it back home into the curriculum, into contributing in our implementation plans as a department, because we have to align with CHE after 5 years and then, which is institutional reviews and program reviews. So it's very rich knowledge and rich exposure. And then because also when you go into the classroom, you go there with content, with perspective, with insight. And so this allows you to have to restructure also and make sure that your delivery is aligned and what the industry needs and where the country is going in terms of the particular field, and because we work with various stakeholders. And so it also allows you to contribute in terms of ensuring that there is that synergy between what the standard is, what the curriculum is, and basically contextualizing and allowing that to work together. I think also what is interesting about this is that it's part of building in higher education. It's building it's a building block. It's a diploma, but it's a building block to other types of qualifications that we still want to pursue in the university as well. So it's a very exciting platform. The Tau Fellow was very, very interesting because it allows you to step outside of being in the department. You stand as a change agent in the university. Mm-hmm. So you learn a lot from other colleagues. You improve your teaching philosophy, your teaching practice, but also you implement projects in the university that have impact because you know you have to step into leadership and not just zoom into being in the classroom only. Mm-hmm. So it was really learning to balance that and stepping, having a voice from a leadership perspective.
You have been appointed to the SAWISA panel for the period 2026-2028. As you help select the next generation of award-winning women researchers, what qualities will you be looking for?
Okay. I think we all understand our history and the fact that women in STEM, we need to uplift women in the STEM fields. And so that is very, very important. As much as the call for this is to upskill women, expose them, and advocate for their advancement in the field. We are looking for distinguished women researchers, but we're also looking for young researchers. So we're looking for students to also come in on board. But what is impactful about this is that we're looking for women who want to address real life solutions. So their research has to be innovative enough to bring that transformation, that change, because, I mean, we've got so many problems. And so women have to be in the forefront to also align their research to have impact, social impact. And so, yes, we're looking for that. And also just mentorship, you know, that has to take place around women.
Yeah, especially women in STEM.
Yes.
What advice would you give to a young woman at MUT who wants to build a career that transcends between the classroom, the community, and international policy?
Okay. I think, first of all, you need to have passion. And passion is not just going crazy and being, you know, outrageous. You need to have self-awareness. You need to know who you are as a person. What is it that drives you as a human being? What are your values? What shapes you? What shapes your thinking? Because passion without identity is a challenge. So you need to have that. You need to build that. It takes time to come to that space, but you need to be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Be true, be realistic. Develop your own voice in what you want to do. And you need to have the passion. You need to protect it. You need to nurture it through mentorship, being in the right platform, having the right people around you, and also the right attitude. And then I would say also you need to think out of being boxed into South Africa. There's so much more out there that's happening. From a global perspective, we need researchers. We need, you know, sometimes you can be there and you realize that there's certain gaps within South Africa that we have not tapped into. Other countries have gone very far. And so we need women, we need researchers, we need also men who can fill those gaps internationally and have a voice and paint a good picture of the research that we do in South Africa, the content, because sometimes we actually don't realize how significant our context is to contribute globally. We tend to look outward, but we have something to deliver as well. So, yes.
When we started this conversation, one of the things that inspired you was your own experience. And we deal with a lot of obesity, not only nationally, I think globally.
Yes.
And we struggle, I think, for those who struggle with obesity, it also impacts on their confidence, on the way they look at the world and themselves. How have you ever experienced a situation where you are approached by a woman or a man for that matter who has seen your research and wants maybe for you to advise them in terms of how they manage their diet and, you know, advice on nutrition? Have you ever encountered that?
Yes, Prof. I think when I was working, doing the editorial work for Etewini as a food editor, I used to write a column, and I used to get a lot of calls because my number was on there.
Mm.
So I used to get a lot of calls, even not just about obesity, but people would want ideas like, I want to prepare a good meal.
Yeah.
Please give me some tips. I'm with my family, you know.
Mm.
And so those conversations have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very important because South Africa is actually one of the leading countries with obesity. And so, also because of the ultra processed foods that we consume, hence the being in the drafting committee as well, looking at how to navigate that. And so because of also my passion and how I had to overcome, issues of weight and having the right perspective about food, because I think the problem that we have is that just because you've got money does not mean that you are informed. There's a lot of information that needs to take place around what you eat, choices, food choices. In fact, even nations that are regarded as first world are having issues around obesity, but also poor nations are also having issues with obesity. So these are real challenges that we need to tackle. And, you know, students, actually, one of the things that I did recently at MUT was to collaborate to bring the UNICEF Club, which is the United Nations Children's Fund, where we have youth at MUT that advocates for correct eating. Part of the campaigning that takes place at MUT in collaboration with that. So these are real issues, and not just for our students, because the research that I've also done under the Food Security Center with the University of the Western Cape, which was a national project that was looking at food security with students. It's a huge student. It's a huge challenge for our graduates, for our students, let alone ones that are in primary school and high schools. And so universities also have a lot to play, a big role to play in terms of communicating this. Hence, I'm saying when we have a UNICEF club here at MUT, it benefits the whole university. It doesn't just benefit students in our faculty because of the fields. But it's conversations that we have around to mobilize students to eat properly, to have a correct perspective about themselves. Because when you are having challenges around weight, it affects you psychologically. Yeah. It affects your ability to see yourself correctly.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that women struggle with, and also men, but women most importantly. Yeah.
As we wrap up this conversation, Prof, what's the one thing you are most determined to see through?
Well, firstly, Prof, my passion is food systems transformation. I'm very much passionate about recognizing our indigenous knowledge, our indigenous foods. Our indigenous foods are not well represented in terms of they've been overshadowed by other foods or other systems that have come in. And we have a very diverse indigenous knowledge, indigenous food system in South Africa. That's not well represented.
Mm.
And so I think working around that platform, teaching young people how to be innovative in bringing back that food and bringing research that's driving and innovation that's driving that. Because hence you speak about obesity, but yet we are in Africa. And Africa was never hungry. Africa never had challenges around obesity. Mm-hmm. But because of these transitions that have taken place, we find ourselves having to adopt certain diets, and then we get sick and we are unhealthy. And so my research is not looking just looking at publications, but also having a mobilized society around food systems transformation, getting our youth to look at their future, because you are what you eat.
Yeah.
And so you cannot have a career outside of eating properly. Mm-hmm. You need to have a career that understands that you are the conduit of that career. So if you don't take care of yourself and are not in sync, you know, sometimes you might not even, you know, get very far because you struggle with these things. So for me, it's my research, it's mentorship, but it's also driving the South African agenda to look at systems transformation in South Africa and work with civil society, work with researchers, work with various stakeholders, and promote transformation, promote our food. Be proud of eating your local food. Make it your own, because it's your part of your identity, you know, the dynamics around that. This is us, and we cannot expect, we are not in Europe, we are here in South Africa, we are here in Africa, and so our work must drive interventions that address us and build us, and then we take them outside and we engage globally with what has worked for us.
Thank you very much, Professor Mkize. This has been a very eye-opening conversation. Like I said, most of us, it resonates with most of us. And ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our conversation with Prof. Mkize. Until next time, goodbye.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.